Welcome back to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. Today we're talking with Kay Medicine Bull and her parents, Larry and Rose, and also health education specialist and epidemiologist Lauren White, about what the COVID pandemic and the loss of elders highlights about the vulnerability of Northern Cheyenne language and culture.
I want to wish you a happy birthday. May the good Lord bless and watch over you. Any more return of the So that can go to four starts too. So I sing birthday songs for my children, for my grandchildren when they, we had a ceremony for them when they turned 1 year old. So that way they can have a good life. And mostly we pray for their good health, for their well-being. So we, some of our traditional ways. We have a sweat lodge, we have the prayer meetings, all-night ceremony, and more recently, during the summer, first part of August, we had our sacred Sundance.
Can you tell me more about the sacred Sundance?
I didn't go through the ceremony. That means I don't have the liberty to talk about it.
That's fine. Thank you, though, for telling me, for explaining that.
If I did, we'll sit here all night telling you about it.
Okay. Well, if it makes sense. If it's sacred, then it's probably not something that you just go talking to people you don't know very well about or who are not Cheyenne. So, yeah.
Especially this.
Yeah. So while you were singing, we could hear your little two-year-old grandbaby making noise and kind of joining in a little, maybe. Do you speak to her in Cheyenne a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She kind of knows now. At this age, they can pick it up quick.
Yeah.
So she might be bilingual by the time she gets it. Yeah. I know English. Trilingual, maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, when I told you, when I first time I seen a light bulb, I walked into a classroom and saw this nun standing there in her black robe. And the lights were, one was on, and she motioned to me, pointed to a light switch. I looked at it and looked at her. She went like this to me, turn it on. And I pointed at it, and she nodded her head, and I lifted it up, and the light came on. It scared me a little bit. So then I turned it off and kind of play with it for a while. I was amazed. Mm. That's where I started Catholic boarding schools. We stayed from Monday night to Thursday night and came home on Fridays.
Oh, so you were in a boarding school also?
Mm-hmm. Ah. I didn't go there to learn. I went there to survive. Yes, we had a heart. Time at home, no jobs, nothing, hardly anything. I'm a survivor. So that's where I come to learn to love, appreciate everything. And then later on in the years, my dad was a chief, he passed away. And then in 1995, 96, someplace along here, I was seated as a hereditary chief. My dad served in World War II. And then he became a chief. And then I had an older brother, but he passed. The oldest sibling, I mean, the oldest son becomes a chief. That's a chief. It takes his place. Mm-hmm. Up and had the seat for, I don't know, for years. The chief has to move. Consider all the Cheyenne people as our children. We do things last. If there's a feast, we're the last ones to eat. If there's nothing, we just have to scrape up what's left and don't complain. And let our children eat first. If you like something, that's reasons why I don't have a ring or watches. They say, hey, I like your watch. Give it to them. But if it was given to me, I'll tell them, hey, this was just given to me. I can't let you have it. But I think this, if you need help, if you give somebody something that they like that you have, they're supposed to be the first ones there to help you. If I needed help with something like, I need some help. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll help you. Yeah. But me, I'm not the kind of guy to ask for help. I don't depend on anybody because they might say, yeah, we'll be, they don't show up. That's what my dad told me. Don't depend on anybody. If you want to do things, do it. So whenever I have a ceremony, the all-night ceremony, I do all the things that needs to be done, except to, I need help to raise the, put up the teepee. And I get the wood, everything for the services. That's where I'm at now. And I don't know what else to say.
Thank
you. Like I said, okay, if you could sit here all night, talk.
Well, Kay,
I'm around 8 o'clock, 8:30. That's my bedtime.
You're listening to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. We're talking with Larry Medicine Bull, his wife Rose, his daughter Kay, as well as health education specialist and epidemiologist Lauren White. Did you teach the spoken language and sign language?
Well, not really sign language.
Okay.
But the spoken language I did.
Okay. And music, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
We music is that we teach the powwow songs, round dance songs.
Uh-huh.
I had a class, a group of young boys, eighth graders. We learned a silent night in Cheyenne.
Oh, my goodness. That's very cross-cultural, Silent Night in Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm. And we also a banquet in Billings. I took them up there, and I told the audience we want to be last to sing. And I told them to take the best for last. So enjoyed it, and first time some of them heard it. And later on, during my high school teaching years, I taught the classes to sing that song, the Cheyenne version of Silent Night. The boys that sang that first time looked like they weren't going to do it, but they came forth and made me proud, made me happy. Went up to Billings and did that, and so I thought I had accomplished something to them, made an impact on them. And today, remember that.
Do you feel like kids are more interested now than maybe 30 years ago, or do you see any change in their level of interest at all?
Well, it comes in both. It depends on how you present yourself to teach the language. Somebody off or someone really interested in learning.
Okay.
That's the way it is.
Okay, as you listen to your dad and your mom talk, are there any other thoughts that come to you?
I was thinking about that we started, I think it was like maybe 2 years ago, remember Dad? I think I recorded a story on my phone, and it was called The Rolling Head, and it's a scary story to get to listen. And I really liked that story when I was growing up, and then I tried to tell my dad to do it again, and he did. He told the story in Cheyenne, and then he told the story in English. And then I lost that file for that story, but and then I tried to start it up again, and doing reading and telling that story at the Boys and Girls Club. So we kind of started doing that again, and I wanted to do that again, and have the elders tell those stories. Even there's a story about why we can't go swimming, only tell the cotton flies, then you can get into the river, you know, and like there's stories to go pick berries and stuff like that. So, and people don't know those stories. My kids don't know those stories. And then I keep them in my head, and then I'm like, oh yeah, remember that? And I'll, you know, ask my kids, and they're like, what are you talking about? They forgot, or they don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I did try, and I did think about this one time before, that, you know, we need to have those people share those stories.
Well, Kay, what would be the easiest way for you to record a story or record the beginning of a story? Do you know, is there one you know well enough that you could start right now?
My dad knows it.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah, there's it's called The Rolling Head, and it's kind of, you know what, and I think about it, I think it's a really long story, but I think about it, it's really graphic and it's really scary. Like, I was thinking, like, holy cow, how did these Cheyennes talk about these things, and how did they think about these things, and what made them do these things? And because it's about a woman who was kind of having an affair, and the husband chopped off her head, and it chases her kids. it's really crazy how, when I think about it back in that time, like, wow, what the heck were they thinking, you know? Like, so my dad knows the story, but that story always stuck with me when I was growing up, because the fact that the head was chasing the kids. Yeah. And, you know, where do you come up with these things? But I'll let him tell the story. He knows it.
Okay, let's hear the story.
A man, wife, son, and a daughter. Then the man would go out hunting every day. And before he left, he fixed her hair, fixed the wife's hair, and put some red paint on her to make her look pretty. When he come back late in the afternoon or evenings, he would see his companion all.
Uh-oh, we just lost the sound. Oh. The sound went away. I hear nothing. I'm wondering if it went mute. Oh, I want this story. We're just almost there.
I don't know. For some reason, it muted, but there
okay.
It is.
Okay, okay. So, when he came home in the afternoon or evening.
Yeah. And he started to wonder why his wife looked like that. So that one time he went down to the river and dug a hole on the bank. And then next day when he was going to go hunting, he went to the river and hid in that hole. And pretty soon his wife came walking down and standing on the shore. He said, "Here I am. I'm here again." Pretty soon the water started to move around like waves. Pretty soon a serpent surfaced, kind of like the serpent knew that there was something there that he was scared of. And the woman kept telling, I'm the only one here. Don't be afraid. You know what to do." So finally the serpent came and started licking her, licking all over. And the man jumped out of the hole and told her, "So this is what you've been doing when I'm away." She went over there and cut her head off. And she took some meat off of her and took it to his children. And he told the old daughter to cook this. So when she was cooking it, the man was packing his clothes and getting ready to leave. So when they were starting to eat, the little boy said, "This meat tastes like mom. When I used to nurse, it tastes like her." And the father said, "No, just eat. Don't worry about it. Get full." So he got his stuff and he left. Before he went out the door, he said, "You're eating your mom." And he left. After dinner, after they were sitting around, they heard some thumping by the door. And this head rose in, and it was their mom. She said, "What have you done to me? Look at me now." So she come after them, they running around the stove and chasing them. But next time they ran to the door and took off running. They went so far and so fast, they stopped to rest. And the girl said, "When I was young, I used to play in a cactus patch. I couldn't get around. In front of them, a whole cactus patch formed. So they had to get through there. Meanwhile, the head was coming, telling them, 'Wait for me, wait for me, don't run for me, you're my children.' But somehow they got through. And the head was stuck there for a while and they walked. Then they looked back. That head was coming back after them again. So they started running and got tired. And the girl said, When I was young, we used to have to cross like that, a canyon or something. And then the ground opened up and they stood on one side and the head was coming closer again, and they found a log. They put it across the canyon. They walked over, and the head said, "Don't leave me here. Wait for me." And the girl told his brother, said, "Let's wait for her." And the little boy started crying, "No, I don't want to wait for her. I want to go." So the head started coming across the log. She tilted it. And the head fell into the canyon, and the ground closed up. And they walked away quite a ways, and they saw a camp. They come out and sat on the hill looking at the camp, and he heard somebody, we call them camp criers, to alert the people what's going on. They heard the camp cries saying, "Those two that are sitting on the hill ate their mom. We need to move camp and leave them here." But before they left, they went after them and tied them up while the whole camp moved. So they were sitting there tied up, and they must have left a dog, an old dog, that girl told, untie us. He tried to untie, but he had no teeth and a hard time. So finally, they got loose. And later on, they were just sitting around, and that boy said, look, sister, deer, look at the deer. And the sister said, if I look at them, they're going to die. She said, they're almost over the bridge. Look at them. So she did, and they fell over, died. So they went over there, cut up the meat, skinned the deer. Meat. And then same thing later on. Said, look at the buffalo. They're over there. They're standing there. They started to, they're moving away from us. Look at them. So she did, and the buffalo fell over, some of them. And man, they had much, much meat. Didn't know what to do with them. Pretty soon, a magpie, it's an eating meat eater bird, came around, circling. That girl told, come here. So that magpie landed on them. I want you to take some of this meat and some of this fat. Go find the people that lived here. Get their attention. And when they do, drop this meat because they're hungry. So the magpie took off. And the people were sitting around waiting, don't know where to go. They were hungry. They saw the bird. Said, look, that bird's flying around. He's got something. So he flew around them and dropped that meat. And they circled around and motioned them to go back to their camp, to their old camp. And they followed that bird back, got back to the camp. And those two had a teepee. They invited everybody to come eat at their lodge. And they told them, let my dad be the last one to come in. So I heard when everybody got fed, took some meat, their dad came. We was all happy. Thank you for the food and stuff like that. But on each side of the door, there was a bear and a lion. They're our protectors. And then that woman, that girl had instructed those two, I'll tell him who he is. Get rid of him. Kill him. And when he got done eating, he started to leave. Just before he left, that girl told him, that's him. So they attacked him. And yeah, with the reason why I just went mute is because we tell these stories at night. If I did like today, in the old days, I'm going to have a hunchback. And the way we know the kids are listening, or whoever's listening to the story at night, we say, huh, they're in the store. That way, the storyteller knows that we're still awake. And when he doesn't hear the huh anymore, nobody's, we're all out, blacked out by then.
So, everybody's sleeping. So you used to tell Kay this story when she was little?
Mm-hmm. Now I've got a hunchback. I don't want to show you. No, I'm just kidding. So, like, those things are gone.
Yeah.
They don't, they're vanished, just playing them. But there's just a myth, you know. There's a lot of things that we do. Like, don't cut meat or anything on top of the stove. Close your mirrors when it's lightning. lay on your side if you have to lay down. Close the windows. And right after it gets dark, close your windows. Whoever's out there, you don't know who's out. But come over and look. Don't leave your light on when you're sleeping. Just it attracts spirits, bad spirits. So if we have an encounter with a bad spirit, there's one way of knowing that you were touched or been witched by bad spirits. Your mouth turns. White people call it Bell palsy.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down in your whole. But there's ways that you can doctor that. Doctor on the opposite side, your face will heal at that place. Not anybody can do it. Only certain ceremonial people can do it. It's really something to see. I witnessed it once. And I said, man, the power of Great Spirit working through that person that healed that man, the bad posse. I'm not any kind of ceremonial person, but one thing I like to do is pray. I always think that's what Kay said. I encourage to pray, not just at church. You hear at your home, any place where you travel. Before you walk into a hotel, pray. Somebody might leave something bad there. Smudge your sweetgrass. Before you leave that room, call your spirit back to come home with you.
We are going to have to stop pretty soon. I am so appreciative. I wonder if there is any prayer you would like to leave us with.
I'll pray in Cheyenne.
Yeah.
I'm a head to go to the world 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 to the world. And then not done it to Jeffers, who were home, which I stayed where it was. You had to be done it the way I took over. Oh, Doctor Warwood, just that. You say, Pepper, so much I could do what's done here. And the Pedita was saying, I owe, and then who had to do was Tom, just not but to pull my tie, and I owe, and then you say, home, Doctor Moyer. You only call on that doctor to still share what he wanted to dis. Come on, Mudduch. I never done them all, Tommy done them all. Amen. Oh.
Thank you.
That's between me and the Creator, but we're asking to bless everybody that we've seen today. You and Lauren.
Yeah. All right.
Nyash. Nyash means thank you.
Nyash?
Nyash.
Thank you.
Way on the yan on the hoe, on the hoe in the hene, yo. Way on the yan on the hoe, on the hoe in the hene, yo. Way on the yan on the hoe, on the hoe in the hene, yo. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, he on the hene, yo. Bless our children, Hiana, Hene, Neyu, our Jower, our grandchildren. Hey, Yana, Yana, Nahu, Anahu, Ina, Hene, Neyu. Hey, Yana, Yana, Nahu, Anahu, Ina, Hene, Neyu.
Thank you, Larry, Rose, and Kay Medicine Bull, and Lauren White for speaking with us today about how the COVID pandemic highlights the vulnerability of Northern Cheyenne culture and language as elders are lost. Body Politic airs on KGVM Bozeman on the first and third Monday of every month at 1 p.m. You can listen at 95.9 FM, stream the show live, or download the link at kgvm.org.